Blog Talk Radio.
What's your story? What do you believe? What are you willing for others to see? Are you hiding behind some false idea? The time has come to change your thinking and find your mission as you persevere and build a team with a cause that's clear. Challenge yourself and
good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the What Is Success Show here on BTR's World of Ink Network. This is your host, V.S. Grenier, with Marcia Casper-Cook and Bennett Pomerantz, as always, on the first and third Fridays of every month. Hard to believe it's summer, you guys. We're already June 1st. My God.
Summer. It's 47 here, and it was 90 on Sunday. Chicago.
Oh, well, we're already in the hundreds, Marcia, out here in southern Utah.
No, it's 47.
I have to have a personal moment here for 1 second, ladies.
Okay,
because if
moment,
I don't
Bennett.
Have this personal moment, this is a personal moment. My nephew Noah is now 17.
Oh,
happy birthday,
goodness.
Noah.
Happy
wow.
birthday, Noah.
Happy birthday. And speaking of birthday,
17.
My son,
I feel old now. He's 17.
Is today his birthday?
Today is his birthday. He was born at 12:07 this morning.
Wow.
17 years ago, I mean.
Well, I feel as old as you do, Bennett, because my son turned 16 on Saturday. So so I was 16-year-old at my house.
But you had him very young. You had him very young, so you're still
well,
very
I did.
Young.
I was in my
you
own
had
place.
Him when you were two. Let's be
yes,
honest.
Yes,
so you're
I
just staying as young as you want.
That's right. That's yes. right. Well, so our listeners know today is June 1st. It is 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 Central. No, what? One Central.
It's one Eastern Time.
One Eastern. What am I thinking? It's two. I'm on like Monday's show schedule. Yeah, you're right. It's one Eastern, noon Central. 11. So I'm going because I was getting Mountain. Going. Wait a minute. It's 11 Mountain. That doesn't make sense. 11 Mountain and 10 a.m. Pacific. So everybody knows. The What Is Success Show that we do twice a month is basically a show, discussion-based show where you can call in. Ask questions about writing and publishing. We do pick a topic each time we have our show, and we try and stay on topic as best as possible. So this week's topic, of course, is the importance of attending conferences, book fairs, workshops, and other publishing writing events locally, internationally, you know, depending on how much you can travel, even online, and what that does for you as agents, publishers, book reviewers, obviously writers and illustrators as well. So if you have questions, you're always welcome to post them in our chat room, which I did open, or you can always call in. Our phone number is 714-242-5259. Again, it's 714-242-5259. And unlike most of our shows, sometimes we'll have a guest, and we do this time. We actually have Dave Smith with us, who's actually out in my area out here in southern Utah. We're both members of the Heritage Writers Group, which is part of the League of Utah Writers, and which I'm president of down here in our local chapter, and Dave is my conference chair. But I also have him on here because Dave does a lot of speaking type, you know, events because he used to be pro tennis. So he's used to going and speaking at conferences, and then he also is one of the authors of the Hidden Mickey series. So he does a lot of book events, conferences, and speaking events based off writing as well. Plus, he has Synergy Books that he is the owner and founder of, which is a publishing company. So Dave has his hands in a lot of different baskets. So
yes, he does. I read about
Dave.
Him. Hi, Dave. Yes, he does.
Hi, you guys. Thanks, Virginia.
Oh, and of course, I left out the fact he is also a
musician.
Well,
he's
a musician and a magician as well,
yeah.
by the way, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, hard to get those two to say, you know, differentiate between magician and musician. They're definitely two different things.
And you do both.
Yeah.
I do both, yeah. So, you
if
know,
he pulls a rabbit
other,
out of my if he pulls a rabbit out of my phone, we really got a good trick.
Yep.
So, Dave, is there anything else you want to share that I didn't about who you are and what you do? I mean...
I think you covered it pretty well. My obviously, being now in my early 50s, I've had a very great opportunity over my lifetime to do a lot of diverse things, of which teaching high school, where I taught advanced biology, was an experience for 16 years. Working at Disneyland was another experience that helped me form understanding about people and how they respond and how they act and what they are, what we can expect from people in large groups. So yeah, that's pretty much you covered most of what I've done and have been able to then translate that stuff into various writing modes, articles, podcasts, you name it. I think I've done it.
Yeah.
Yep, you have.
Now you guys know why I have Dave as my chairman on for conference and events on my writers group, because I'd be lost without Dave.
We're going to have a fun time.
Yes, we are. So that's why we wanted to talk about it, because Dave and I are actually planning our first conference that we're actually like organizing art together. In our little local writing chapter here. Not that it's little, because it's part of the League of Utah Writers, which is, of course, a statewide writers group, but, you know, down here in southern Utah as well. So we're organizing our first writing conference in October. And so that's what kind of sparked the topic when I was talking to Bennett and Marcia about what we should talk about on today's show, because a lot of writers, at least lately I've been hearing, they're like, well, you know, I've taken some writing workshops, or I've gone to a couple of conferences, or I'm a member of whatever writing organization, and, you know, and I've done a few things, but I don't feel like I'm learning anything. And I think sometimes writers really miss out on, I mean, I think publishers, agents, you know, book critics, I think, you know, editors, we get the reason why we need to be at these things, but I think sometimes writers and illustrators kind of miss the point of being there unless they're new at writing.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
To me, I mean, I really feel like the benefit of me, even if I don't, like, if I'm not paid to go, you know, and I have to pay to go versus someone paying me to go speak, or if it's like a book, you know, event where, you know, it's like we just recently had over here at TuaCon, which is our arts kind of creative art, high school. They do a lot of plays and stuff there. They have a Saturday's market, so we had like a local author book signing event kind of thing going on. And, you know, some of our authors were like, well, I didn't sell any books. I'm starting thinking, but think of all the networking and marketing you had going on. Like, they forget that part of it.
Yeah.
Well, yes, they do.
Yeah, but a lot of times, some of the newer writers, you know, they really can't afford. Well, now with times being so bad, they can't afford to go, because it does. Everybody's all, you know, like Dave asked, how did we all get together? You know, because people are all over. I mean, they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. We're not all in one group. And, you know, I think Bennett, you were on the show with Joe Perrone, and
I was on the show with Joe Perrone. I love Joe. He's great.
He was great, and it was really funny because Joe said to us, are we all, like, friends with each other? We see each other all the time, and we don't. We don't even, if we were on the street, we might pass each other by. But, you know, because...
No, Marsha, I would never pass you by, okay? I wouldn't pass the lovely Miss Grenier either. I mean, I would basically, I would know who you are. What annoys me, though, is when you're at a show. I've done enough workshops in the last couple of months, and what I love is they'll come up to you to meet the guests. Oh, I love you on Blog Talk Radio, or I love your column on Night Owl, or, oh, God, I read Loving Hearts Live Forever, and it helped me.
It's weird, yeah. I'm sure it's weird.
It is. It's like when you're writing, it's a solitary event. There is very little audience and applause, and suddenly this person or persons come up to you, and they're like, if you ever saw the movie Misery, it's like Misery Chastain has suddenly appeared in all these people, and it's like they come up to you, and they come up to you with copies of articles you wrote 6 months before.
It is strange. I'm sure it is strange, you know, for people to know.
Or they come up with Loving Hearts Live Forever, which has been out for 2 years. It's a great book, and it's still, by the way, on Amazon.
Bennett, you always get it in.
That's one thing I do, even at the workshop, is you plug.
Okay, you know what? That's how we all met, remember? And this is how I met Bennett, and then Virginia met him because, you know, we do shows together. But he came on the when I was on a show with the romance writers, he came on and he said to me, "You do not promote yourself at all." That's how I met you. And you're right. I still don't. Virginia and I, we always say we're good. We do not promote ourselves.
And we met through a lovely woman named Meg Collins, who's a great, great author, and she's on another show called Page Turners. If you have to listen to it, it's a great show. It's a very good show to listen to.
And I was going to also say, too, how besides the fact that, you know, we connected through Blog Talk Radio, is we're also all three on Facebook, and we're all in a lot of the same Facebook groups.
Yeah.
So, you know, we tend to banter a lot with
each other. Is that a good thing or bad thing? I don't know anymore.
Well, Virginia already, she knows my hint is where I go, the evil, double L, one. She goes LOL usually after it, because that's me.
Dave, are you on other social networks all the time, or are you?
I try to be on Facebook mostly to, I usually use that as the marketing. I was going to kind of comment on the funny things you were talking about regarding how you met and marketing yourself and plugging your books and things. And one of the things that I've found, especially in the last few years, being around in so many book events such as the LA Times Book Festival and local book festivals and D23, which is the largest Disney event in the country. And one thing I've noticed is how many authors don't know how to promote themselves, because writing, as you said, is a very individualistic, isolated type of activity, and so many authors cannot get outside of that isolation and learn how to not only, like Bennett was saying, you know, greet and respond to people who tell you they love your work or they've read your book or they've read your articles, but also how to attract people, because if you can't show passion in your own work and convey that to an audience, they can't learn to love your work. They can't even learn to appreciate it. And this is where, when I speak at a lot of conferences, talking about getting out from behind your table and meeting people and putting things in their hands and talking about your book, this is where a lot of authors fail to self-promote and self-market their work, and understanding that it's not just writing a book, but now the lifelong process of taking that work and doing something with it so that you're constantly making people aware of it. And I think that's where I use Facebook to answer your question, to try to, in a way that's not spamming, we do a lot of contests, a lot of things that are fun, obviously with my Disney books, which are, if any of you have read The Hidden Mickey, it's sort of an adult mystery about finding the treasure that Walt Disney left behind before he died. And so I try to theme a lot of my posts around a scavenger hunt online or things about trivia, like there's a basketball court up inside the Matterhorn way up in the top that people don't know about. So we try to, you know, create interest from a trivial kind of, oh, I didn't know that, so that people become interested later in the book.
Dave, I want to touch on something you mentioned, because I've, as you guys know, since we're both here in Southern Utah, I've been at some of the events with Dave locally when we have book events down here. And talk about your booth, because unlike all the other, and I'm one of them, I admit it, unlike all the rest of us, you know, that have published books, when we go to events, you know, we have our table, we have like a little easel, sign our books right on our table, you know, I do have postcards and bookmarks and coloring pages that I can hand out to people. But talk about what your booth looks like, because your booth is amazing, and I think that's what makes you stand out, like when we have like the Dickens Festival, you know, just our local St. George Book Festival going on, you know, when you travel and go to your other events that I know you go to as well, that I think really helps you stand out, that authors don't realize is actually an essential part. That's why I was right next to you at TuaCon, because I knew that you were just like a huge old beacon.
Well, you know, that's a great question, because I think that is one of the things that whether I do it consciously or subconsciously, is that I try to make my booth as visually interesting for people to look at as much as they want to see a book. So I have a big advantage. Having worked at Disneyland, I actually have a monorail costume, and so in answer to your question, Virginia, and you've seen this, I usually display some of the interesting things. I have some old pictures of me when I worked at the park. We sunk a canoe during the canoe races, and it's really fascinating for people to like, what, where is that? And you really, you know, it's like that first impression. You only have, 3 seconds to really make a good first impression. So you need to get people to look at your book in such a way that it does, they're not being turned off by your approach. Like, oh, here, look at me, or here, read my book so you buy it. I try to always look at it as an educational thing. Like, did you know that there's the most exclusive dinner club up in at Disneyland in the entire United States called Club 33? And people are like, really? I didn't know that. And then it opens the door for dialogue. And now they are sincerely interested in the book, in, you know, whichever book we're, you know, I've got 6 books, five of which are Disney books, or 4 of which are Disney books. But I do have a big advantage because who doesn't love Disney? I mean, I'm sure.
Right. That's like you just mentioned Disney, and that's, you know, people are interested. But if you mention something else, they might not be. See, the thing is, though, you know, I found out from, like, all the guests that we've had on over the years, if you live in a smaller town or a smaller place, you have much more success. If you're in Chicago, these bookstores, these places, they you don't stand out. It's impossible. And
you have to make that stand out. You're right. Absolutely.
And personally, Dave does, because he's got, like, the little not just the easels, but he has the big banner that, you know, has Hidden Mickey on it, and you know, a couple of the book covers, I think, are on one of them. And then he's got, like, the little book stand thing where he has, you know, like, if you like the book display where the books face out of, he has one of those with some of the books in there. And, you know, of course, like you said, he uses monorail costume. He has a lariat with a bunch of the different, you know, Mickey pins.
But, okay, do you sell a lot of books there, though, Dave? Do you sell books, or do you chit-chat? That's the thing.
I didn't catch the first question there.
Do you
what was
sell
that again?
Books? Do you sell books, or do you talk more than selling books?
Well, we talk a lot. In fact, I usually lose my voice after a 4-day Dickens festival.
Right.
But when, I'll tell you a funny story about a big city. We were down in San Diego doing a book signing at Barnes & Noble, my co-author of the first 2 books. We have 5 in that series. And then, of course, I have my newest book called In the Shadow of the Matterhorn, which is basically more of a memoir of working at Disneyland and all the bizarre things that happened during the years I worked there, and just, you know, everything from, like, finding a dead body to weird stuff that happened in the rides and stuff. So there's a little intrigue there. But ironically, we were in San Diego, and I told the manager when we got there, I said, if you set our table up right here, I guarantee we'll sell 50 to 60 books. And she laughed. She just laughed. She's just like, oh, nobody has sold 50 books at a book signing here.
Yep.
And I said, you put us here, I guarantee we'll sell 50 books in 2 hours. And she just like, well, yeah, okay. Well, we sold 72 books that day in the 2.5. I think we were there for 2.5, maybe 3 hours. I can't remember. But she was like, you know, the average number of books at a book signing sales outside of a celebrity is 10. Every manager at every Barnes & Noble I've ever signed at usually has said, a good book signing is 10 to 15 books. And we typically sell 50 to 60 books in a
Yeah, but
a
okay, but
signing.
Now if you have it at Barnes & Noble and they buy the books, let's say, so are these self-published books, though? Because otherwise they only take maybe 10 or 20 or maybe that's tops, I think, what Barnes & Noble will take.
As with any book, we are self-published, but we have created our own publishing company, so they are in distribution. We have them at every Barnes & Noble in the country. There's where your diligence pays off, because we, when I did book signings here for the Barnes & Noble in St. George, we sold 50 books.
Yeah.
The manager was astounded. She wrote a beautiful letter saying, you know, you've got to, you know, as a manager of a Barnes & Noble, you've got to. So we sent that letter out to other Barnes & Nobles. We did the same thing in Orange, Irvine, Vegas, mostly covering everywhere we've been that's relatively close by for us, and have been asked back. I mean, we have been asked back 3 times in Orange, California, which is the closest Barnes & Noble to Disneyland. But, you know, the beautiful thing is, my goodness, when you sell 50 or 60 books for a Barnes & Noble, they're going to want your back.
Yeah,
of course they do. Your profit to them, but also your entertainment for them. It's free entertainment.
Exactly, and you're bringing notoriety and you're bringing an event to the store. By
but I think a lot of them don't want to do events now. That's the problem in different areas.
Well,
they don't
I disagree with that. I disagree. There are a lot of people that want to do events. The only problem is a lot of these organizers, if you're not a Stephen King, Tom Clancy, somebody else with a name, and they're a smaller author, they're not going to offer you as much. The last event I was at, they offered me a hotel room and a $25 a day food stipend. 3 days, that's $75. I hate to say it. You can go to the McDonald's dollar menu and get about a good meal for about $5. 3 meals is $15. You could pocket 10 if you really, really are on a budget. They give you a free hotel room. They give you 6 to 8 panels to work over 3 days. Come on, it's free money. But, you know, some people don't want that. I say free money. You know, I have to sometimes pay my own transportation down. That's fine. I don't mind that. I don't mind, being part of the list of people. What I do, at the Meet the Guests, it's funny. Meet the Guests, and I don't know if you've done these, Dave, but where they have a Meet the Guests kind of thing, they serve stale bruschetta and wine or Kool-Aid. You have a choice. And you're sitting there or standing there, and people are coming up to you, I love your work, or, oh, my God, you can't be him. You're too nice, or I heard you on Blog Talk.
But are you talking about Barnes & Noble?
I'm talking about anything. A lot of these events hook up with a bookstore or two. When Borders was in business, I was doing 1 to 2 Borders a day. The day of the Meet the Guests, which was that Friday night, okay? I was doing it for almost nothing, but the thing is I was signing and people were going to event.
Well, like Walden Books, they were great, but they went out of business. I was there several times.
Yeah, well, Walden's and Borders
right.
are the same
but,
thing.
Right,
but
Barnes
& Noble has done some. But the thing is, they stick you in the back.
That's
exactly right.
Yeah.
But they don't care to have you in the front. They can mention a little sign about the size of a 8x10 sheet of paper. Oh,
right.
You're here. But otherwise, you know, no. I mean, I tell them, stick me towards the front. Well, you'll mess up our cash registers.
They took me to a store. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I was at a Barnes & Noble with my children's books. And somebody asked me to do a favor and go with them, and I did. And then the Barnes & Noble that I was at has no children's section. So this was not a good place to be. Right. So, so people have to really, you know, before they go to Barnes & Noble. See, I wanted to cancel, but I didn't because I didn't want to do that because I thought that was bad, so I went, even though I knew it was bad, okay? It was not going to help me. But the thing was, I went and it was, you know, I talked to people and whatever, but see, it depends on what Barnes & Noble, and they are not as receptive as they should be because, you know what, people like to meet new authors, especially.
Here's a really great question for everybody. As you can tell, Dave, I kind of, as Marcia and Bennett like tell me, I'm like the Barbara Walters of the group, keep everybody
focused.
When you guys go to, like, your book signings or you go to a writer's conference, you know, be it that you paid or you're asked to be a speaker, you know, whatever, any type of event you've been to as you paid to go, it was free to go, or you were asked to be there as a presenter, have you ever walked away saying this was absolutely worthless to be at?
Yeah, I left the book signing myself. I did. I left.
Well, I know the one.
I left because they thought they put me in the library because there was and all of the people were in the other place, and when they came in, they thought I was the librarian, okay? And they weren't interested that I had books. They weren't interested in anything. And I said, you know, please, and I was there once before, and they had Scholastic there, and Scholastic wouldn't allow me to be with them, so I had to be outside. So I said, next time you call me, I'll be happy to come to talk to the classes. I'd love to talk to the kids, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, but they, and I said, I have to leave now. I am not the librarian, and I said, I really am not going to stay. It was absolutely ridiculous, and, you know, and that's what happens. You don't ask, because sometimes you go, okay, fine, I'll do it, and, you know, but I have been at schools where they're really nice, and I sell a lot of books, but when you have to, sometimes you don't want to ask, where are you going to be putting me, what are you going to do with me, what do you want me to do?
Right.
That's what they wanted me to do. Nothing. I was in the library, so I was like the librarian. I said, okay, fine.
Lesson learned from Marcia's story is make sure you ask
Yep. And to be assertive, because you don't want to be considered the librarian in the library.
Absolutely.
Right.
But I did meet some nice people. I mean, I met the same people that I met when I was standing in the hall when Scholastic wouldn't let me in. So, I, you know, I got to know a few of the people well. No, I don't think I'll be going back there.
From my perspective, in answer to your question, Virginia, because it's a really valid question, and that is you really don't know unless, like you just said, you go and you've done it before and it was worthless, it was a waste of your time. I personally look at every opportunity as a potential, not just a potential to sell books, but a potential to get information in the hands of people, even if they don't buy, and that means your postcards, your flyers, what have you. And I always look at a good example is the Dickens Festival here in St. George, Utah, which is a large Christmas craft show. It's a four-day show. And they average about, I think, 30,000 people over the course of 4 days. Well, here we had, 3 years ago, we had a Disney, you know, our first Disney book called Hidden Mickey. It's not a Christmas book, has nothing to do with Christmas. It's not a craft book. The booth was $400, and, you know, my co-author came out, and we said, you know, let's see how something like this does. I mean, we may not make any money, we may lose money. We ended up selling 400 books in the 4 days, we averaged probably close to $10 profit per book, so there's $4,000. Yes, it was well worth our time, not to mention we see a huge spike in our sales online, whether it be Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or Kindle versions, what have you. We get a huge spike from people who didn't buy the book, perhaps, or, as we always find, people talk about the book and tell their friends about it, so we see another spike there. But we had no idea whether we would even make a dollar on the Dickens Festival because it did not even fit the theme of what we were.
Right.
Yeah, we
know.
Did it, and we'll do it every year because we easily sell, you know, 400-plus books a year.
That's true,
so,
and you're at the right place, and it depends where you are. You know, that's the thing.
Absolutely.
You know?
The one thing I enjoy... go ahead. I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ben. You're fine.
I should add story. I should add to my story, Bennett, one last thing. I donated 8 books. I felt bad. I donated the books, 8 of them,
because
I thought that the kids should have the books. So I didn't just leave.
Marcia's our softie in the group.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, when I do any sort of event, I make sure I also overbook other things, a school appearance, a library appearance, a radio show, something. So you're doing more than just the event because you're doing extra promotion. Yeah, if I'm doing a radio interview on a Tuesday and I'm going to be at a Meet the Guests on a Friday, they know the event is coming up. If I come in, say, Thursday night and go to a library that morning or that afternoon and then go to the event that evening, you better believe I'm talking about the event. The organizers say, you're better promotion than we are. But like Book Expo, Book Expo, because Book Expo was just last weekend in Jacob Javits Center in New York. It's not worth it like it used to be. A lot of these new writers come up and they say, well, they wouldn't take my manuscript. Of course they won't. This is they're trying to sell the books they have on their slate. This is where you should get information. But a lot of these new writers are like, well, I went in there. I spent the $300 for the membership and went in, and nobody would talk to me about my book. I'm like, they shouldn't. And people are getting this. It used to be when there was a million small book publishers there, it was great. Now it's basically a mastication for the major book publishers and the major companies and a pat on the back. Small publishers are usually thrown to the wayside. They're thrown to the smaller room. And, you know, people tell, you know, who? No offense, I love Spanish CDs, but, you know, if you want your book in Spanish, talk to the Spanish people that put Spanish CDs on it. You know, but
you're
not talking about
something
like that.
I want to ask a question, though. You're saying that the book, because I signed up for the books, you know, the Book Expo, and as a journalist, and I got it accepted, but it says it's June 5th to 7th. What is that? That's not the same thing you're talking about?
That's not the. You know, it's not the same. The one that I
this
was
is
just
the book
in
is Expo, right? This because this says Book Expo America.
Where
is
there
New York and the Javits Center? It says.
Well, there was one last weekend in the Javits Center. It was so crowded. I mean, I saw half my friends there as I was headed on to New Jersey for something.
I'm
so it's
at
fine
it right
with
now.
Me.
It says the Book Expo America is June
5th. Let me address something Bennett just said, because I think I can explain why the shift has taken place so dramatically at such expos. Because number one, with the onslaught of the ebook industry, more so today than ever, books do not make publishers, agents, and authors money. 9 out of 10 books do not make the bookstore, the agent, or the publisher money. That's a proven fact.
Yeah.
That 9 out of 10 books in Barnes & Noble will not make that store money. What will make the money is the Hunger Games, the Twilight, the Harry Potter, the big bang books that everyone seems to gravitate to for some reason. And that's what all these publishers are hoping for, is that they have that next big bang book. The fact of the matter is, if I've got 10 books in my publishing company, perhaps only one of them is going to make any money. So, number one, you're not going to have the impetus of publishers and agents and the industry leaders even caring about, because let's face it, if 10 people walk up to you, Ben, and say, hey, I've got a manuscript, and you know what the numbers are, 9 out of 10 of those guys are going to cost you money as well as time. So 99% of these agents are going with those odds and those theoretical numbers that are no longer theoretical, they're pretty well documented, that these books, regardless of how well they're written, or regardless of, I mean, I can tell you, Hidden Mickey, which is huge, we were the only non-Disney published authors ever invited to Disneyland to do a book signing. No one wants.
Excuse me, sir. I'm not trying to fight you or dispute you. There is one other author, but they're Disney licensed, and that's
right.
Not the Kingdom Hearts people. You know who I'm talking about, and I don't want to talk about the author.
You
know who I'm talking
Kingdom
about.
Keeper?
Yes, I sure is.
Okay.
They were invited to Disney as well, but they're a licensed, almost a licensed Disney property.
Yeah, but Dave's not even licensed. That's what Dave's saying. He's not licensed. He's not.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But we were invited by the Disney Resort to do a book signing at their bookstore at the Disneyland Resort. What I'm saying is, though, that the fact is most books do not make money. So most of the publishing companies are not going to spend the kind of time, because they know that all these books coming into them are not going to make them any money. And that's where this industry has changed so dramatically, because 25 years ago that was not the case.
Exactly.
I think an author today has to take the reins where, instead of just turning over the marketing and the interest in the level of the book, the author has to take on that responsibility to some degree.
Well, I always find it funny. A couple of weeks ago, I was at a workshop, and this author comes up to me with a 300-page manuscript. I'm on a break from a workshop, and the person gives me the manuscript and says, "Can you read this for me and tell me if it's good?" I say, "Sure," and I put it in my knapsack. He says, "No, sir, that's the only copy I have."
Oh, no.
I said, "Go to Kinko's. Make me a copy, and I will surely do it." Well, I don't know if I can do that today. I said, then send me a file of it. A file? You know, some of them don't know simple.
No, they don't. You're right.
And I'm not laughing at these guys. Please don't think, anybody who's listening, I'm not laughing at you. But it's like, come on. There are a couple of rules they should know. You don't spell Starlog's David McDonald does not spell his name like the hamburger place. He spells it like McDonnell Douglas, and if you send it to him like McDonald's the hamburgers, he's going to file 13 you. And then you're going to write back and say, "Well, why did you not do anything about my stuff?" Because you misspelled my name. You know, it's very simple to make a phone call and do that. Even, you know, it's really funny. I was at a workshop with him, and somebody gave him something with his name misspelled. He stopped the person and says, "Correct it."
I think that demonstrates both the ignorance of a lot of authors, and this is why I think going back to what Virginia started with, the whole idea of conferencing and going to workshops, is that authors don't know that they have a certain level of responsibility. And that, what you just described, Bennett, is certainly one of them. Other responsibilities are, like you said, having multiple copies. I mean, you know, they don't understand the business yet. And this is one thing, like what we're going to do with our conference here, is we're actually going to do a free community workshop on each night of our conference to actually invite aspiring writers to learn more about the writing industry in a very short one-hour little lecture, you know, presentation, but to get them involved in knowing that it's not just writing, it's not just editing, it's not just formatting, it's not just designing cover artwork and back cover information. It's about everything, and you've got to know what you're going to do so that you can do it well and you don't have to reinvent the wheel as an author. And
oh,
so you're absolutely right.
I have to tell you about an 18-year-old that I met at Rising Star. Now, this 18-year-old, I'm going towards the break, you know, of the workshop for the lunch or for the water break or whatever, smoke break. And I say, you know, you guys got to keep working at it. You got to keep paying your dues. You got to keep doing it. And I say, I'll see you guys in 15, and I go to the water fountain and get a drink. And this girl comes up and says, excuse me, how much are they? I said, I'm sorry. And she says, how much are they? And I said, what are you talking about, dear? She says, how much are my dues so Daddy can pay them?
Well, talk about ignorance right there.
This is one of the things why Virginia and I, like, do, you know, like other shows like Virginia, like on your shows, Virginia, that you have, you know, you do the blog tours and everything, because people are getting adjusted to being a writer. And when they come on, you know, you're having all these discussions and other writers. That's why Blog Talk Radio in general is really good. Okay, it's not just our shows, it's a lot of shows, you know, that people are listening to if they're writers, and they really need some help, and nobody gives it to them. So I think that that's a good thing that Blog Talk came up with all these shows, because it does help writers, I think, an enormous amount.
Well, that's kind of why I brought up the discussion today, because, and you totally just hit the nail on the head, Martha, and use the really bad cliche, everybody. Everybody's going, that's, you know, professional writers, like, oh, cliches. But it's true. I mean,
what cliches? This is truth.
It is true. But when you get to a certain point, I mean, when you're a new writer, you're excited. Workshops, conferences, book events. I mean, you want to be everywhere and in everything if you can afford it, or if it's free or whatever, because you're excited and you want to learn. But then you get to a certain point where you keep hearing it all. And the one thing that I take away every time I go to a conference or a workshop, and every month when we have our chapter meetings, is even though about 75 to 80% of the information is stuff I've heard before, I obviously needed to rehear it again, because I think that's where the disconnect happens. And then the flip side to it, which, you know, Dave brought up about our conference and the way we structure our conference, unlike a lot of, I'm not bashing on other writing conferences out there, but usually they just focus on technique and skill, like how to world build, how to develop characters, how to write the next best-selling mystery novel. I mean, and as great as that is, what about how to do a book proposal, how to approach an editor, how to put together your one-sentence pitch?
How to do a book proposal and then they reject you immediately.
And also you have to tell them that critics are not evil.
Or how to go out and market your book and deal with, you know, positive reviews versus negative reviews. I mean, I don't know about you, but, I mean, maybe there'll be, like, one or two things like that in a conference, and the rest is all skill and technique. And I'm starting to think, and that's what the one thing Dave and I are doing with the St. George Conference in October is we're making it focus more on the marketing side of things, and then we have some of the technique and skill-building stuff as well.
See, I don't, what I like, you know, another thing is about Facebook, which this part is good about it, because, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't like to do a lot of chats on Facebook, but I do listen to the things, you know, with the World Castle Writers, because that's where I am, and, you know, different things with our network and everything. But when I see someone that says, you know, they're afraid to be on, like, a radio show, I have to answer them, because I always feel bad, because, you know what, I don't want people to be afraid. See, that's the thing. People get afraid, and we're just like everybody else. I've said this many times. The first time I did a show, I was editing my own book that was already done already to read it on the show because I was afraid I was using this word, and that was me, and that was like 200 shows ago. But I was afraid, and I think people have fears. So I think that sometimes listening to other writers talk about their fears and what has happened, because it does, you know, we all just don't get out there and do this, you know. And this was one of my biggest fears, and I did a TV show a couple years ago, and I was a wreck because I don't even like pictures. So I did it, and, you know, it's actually on my site, but it's like, and we took it into three episodes, but I didn't look at the camera. I just looked at the person interviewing me, and it was fine. So my son, who knows I'm scared of all this, he said to me, you know, you really sounded good. He goes, you didn't sound dumb or anything. I go, thank you very much, you know. It was 1 hour. My
family support, isn't it great?
Yeah. You know, and he didn't mean it in a bad way because he knew how scared that I would be to be out there for an hour. It's an hour's a long time, you know, if you've never been on a show. And he goes, oh, yeah, you did okay. You weren't dumb.
Well, speaking of that and being afraid, because which I've mentioned before many times on the show, you know, my background is marketing and sales. So you would think somebody who has this background would not get nervous at all. You know, heck, I'm used to going up to customers in stores and as a buyer approaching vendors and, you know, being at fashion show events and all these kinds of things and constantly networking and marketing and selling products and this and that. That I would have no problem getting from people. The first time I did a Blog Talk Radio show, and it was, gosh, it was back when I started Stories for Children magazine. So this was back in 2006. It was a 30-minute show. That was it. I was on for 30 minutes. I sounded like I had ran a marathon. I was breathing so hard.
Right.
Because
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I could literally feel my heart, my chest. No one could see me. They could just hear me on the phone, but I was flipped out.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
because people, they don't think you are, but this is what happens, and you just get used to it.
Yeah.
But, like, every show, for the first 5 minutes, you know that sometimes if a guest doesn't appear or something's happening, you know, you get...
The guest. I wasn't me as the host. I was the guest.
Right, but if you're a host, too, you get five minutes, and then you get into it, and then you're okay. You know, but I think people don't realize that people that are doing this for a long time still get nervous and things happen, you know, and have to go with it.
The first time I heard myself doing a radio show, I scared myself. I said to my friend, who is that guy? He sounds so weird. My friend put his arm on my, put his hand on my shoulder and said, that's you, buddy. I don't sound like that. He says, yes, you do.
Thank you for saying that, Bennett, because honestly, I know how all of you guys hear me is not how I sound in my own head at all. And every time I hear my voice, like my voice sounds deeper to me. And so every time I hear when I play back our shows, I'm like, gosh, I hate my voice. It's so much higher and girly sounding than I thought.
but you don't know. You don't know. And even so, that's like even when you look in a mirror, you're looking at somebody different than somebody else sees. We all do that. You know, it's just the way it is.
I always thought of my voice as Walter Cronkite, but, it, you know, I know it's not.
And that's the way it was.
Yeah. Well, back to conferences. They need to keep us back on conferences and workshops. Everything we've been talking about, the one thing that helped me from that awful experience back in 2006, that 30 minutes that I was freaking out, the two things that have helped me get beyond that was, you know, obviously I started learning to put back on my salesman hat and what I used to do in stores. Just for anybody who's terrified when they're like, well, I wanted, you know, I have books published, but I'm really scared to go and do a book signing or go to a, you know, local whatever book fair and have a booth or if my publisher is having a booth and is asking if any of the authors want to show up for a signing, you know, just to even go for that hour to do the signing, I'm terrified. To get beyond that, one of the things that I do, and I actually teach this in a workshop called How to Sell Yourself, is when I was out on the sales floor back when I was in college and working my way up the chain of command, is I never thought of myself as Virginia. Back then I was a Stallard, so as Virginia Stallard, the salesperson, you know, selling retail. I would go in there and I would think of whatever actor or singer that I liked. And in my mind, I'm like, I am that person today. And that's how I would actually be on the selling floor. I mean, not that I was like all
crazy like them.
Well,
I think
like
that's a book. I think that's a book for Jesus Christ.
But it did.
Well,
but that's
my
the,
friend.
You know,
my friend Jean. We're getting on workshops and things. My friend Jean went with me to one of the book expos where I was speaking on one of the panels, and the panel room has 300, 400 people, and I'm okay with that. But we went down into the smaller dealer room or whatever you want to call it, the sales room, where they have a 12-foot Barney in the background splayed against the wall. And
look,
she's looking at the... I wish. But she's looking down the aisles and she's seeing Simon & Schuster and Random House, at that time Bantam Doubleday Dell, and publishers all over the place. And she's going, and this is the smaller room? I said, yes. It's so large. And
not
I'm
great
like,
accommodations. Yeah.
It's not large. It's just, they're just people. And
yeah.
She's like, where are you going to be? I said, well, I have a 9 o'clock over here and a 10 o'clock over here. She, can I go with you? No. And she's like, by the end of the by the end of the convention, she was like, my book is on October's schedule, and I got to see the book where they showed it. I was, and they have an ugly picture of me. I'm like, aren't you happy now? And she says, yes. But she's going half crazy because she's there, and she's a new. She at that time she was a new author, and she's shaking hands, and it was all new to her. And I'm just there being Bennett Pomerantz and going into seeing publishers who I know and talking business and doing a panel. And she's like, at the end of the day, I'm famous. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know? and she's just savoring this. And this was Book Expo. This was about 10 years ago. But it was like she was savoring that minute of her getting a picture in the catalog.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'm like,
yeah,
yeah, that's great.
But, you know, and
well, I think everybody goes through a cycle of experience. I mean, I think every author first goes through that excitement phase of seeing their book finished. I mean, whether it be a manuscript or an actual printed book, you know, and then they realize, okay, I've got a book out, now what? And it goes back to that what I call doing 5 things a day, you know, every day towards marketing and distributing and getting your book, you know, seen and heard of and whatnot. And, you know, then you go through what I call the roller coaster effect. And that is, you'll do 5 things a day and you'll see where you've got, like you're just saying, Benny, you've got a book signing, you've got a speaking engagement. And then you go through a period where there's nothing happening and you're kind of questioning, well, now I want to do more. And then all of a sudden you get more. But you don't get more, and this is for all the listeners out there who are authors, who are looking to be a successful author. Anybody can be an author. Anybody can write a book. There's no doubt in my mind that anyone can write a book. They can sit down long enough and diligently enough, they can put enough words to paper that they call it a book, whether it be good or bad or indifferent. That's a whole different topic. But the idea of being a successful author, meaning someone who is either getting good reviews or getting good critical reviews outside of their mommy and daddy or their best friend or whatever, or selling books and making some level of profitability from it. The idea of that takes diligence well beyond the writing of the book. And this is one thing I've found over the years since I published my first top-selling tennis book, instructional book, was that you have to do many things and do it like Virginia said, going to conferences, even if you feel like you've heard it all or, you know, whatever. The networking, you never know. In fact, when we had our first book, Hidden Mickey, we were at the Dickens Festival. You talk about fateful things of taking a chance. We did the Dickens by chance. We knew it was going to cost, a lot of money to get the booth. Well, guess who came by our booth? The general manager of Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Guess who took a book with her? The general manager of Barnes & Noble. Guess who got asked to come speak at a Teacher Appreciation Week, and I was asked then to come and do a lecture. then guess who's done 6 book signings at Barnes & Noble since?
Right.
All because of, and then, you know, there may have been, you know, we may have gotten in another way, but again, we never know when that connection will occur that opens the door and, you know, whatever. So that's my little soapbox of letting people know that you've got to be as passionate about your own work as you would expect a publisher to be and go after it from that perspective.
I want to add to that because it just made me think of a situation that happened to me. This is, of course, back when I was, this is 2007, so it was like only a year after Stories for Children magazine had been out. And those who still have never figured out what Stories for Children magazine is or, you know, what the heck I'm talking about when I mention it on the show, it's an enzyme for children 3 to 12 years old. It's online only. Right now we only offer it through Lulu.com. We're going to actually get it on MadCloud, but it's a downloadable online magazine, and we're working to expand it out. I just so busy that I do it for free. That's why it's taking forever to build momentum. But not that it's free, but I work on it for free. Anyhow, so this is back in 2007. So I've only been out for a year. You know, word's getting out there about this new, you know, enzine out there for children. And I went to a Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, so SCBWI, like weekend workshop up in northern Utah in the Salt Lake Valley. And wasn't sure if I wanted to go because not that it was going to be expensive because I have an aunt that who I happen to be named after who lives out there, so I could stay with her. So it wasn't like I had hotel fees. I mean, gas and 4-hour drive, not that big of a deal. But it was, you know, still, you know, do I want to pay this money? I have to drag my kids with me. I have to ask my mom to come with me to watch the kids because my husband, you know, he has to work because he works for emergency responders, so he doesn't get weekends off half the time. And I'm like, do I really want to deal with this huge headache? You know, for the expense, it's not a huge expense, but for this expense, and possibly hear everything I've already heard, and not really do much for me except just to go and network. And I mean, honestly, here I am. I'm the marketing background, you know, professional here, and I'm going, do I really want to spend this money and go through all this just for networking? Because that's what I was going through, and I really wasn't sure. So I went, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to go as Virginia the writer. I'm going to pay, you know, the additional $50 to have one of the editors that's going to be there. We had Random House, Harper Collins, and I think Penguin there to look at my manuscript and to give me feedback because, you know, it was a picture book manuscript. I'm like, I'll do that. I'm just going to go as Virginia the writer, and hopefully I'll get some, you know, criticism on this awful manuscript, and yes, I do mean awful. And it was not my first draft. It was like draft 100, and it was still awful. So maybe help point me in the right direction and slap me around a little bit to get me back on my writing path, right? So this is what eventually got me to go to this thing. So I'm sitting there, and it's my turn in between the different speakers to go and meet with my editor. And I happen to be meeting with the Harper Collins assistant editor. I won't say her name. That was there, and it was right after she had given a phenomenal presentation, so I was really glad to be there to listen to her presentation, because it was amazing, because it was all about the difference between mainstream, popular picture book fiction and young adult fiction versus the classics and what makes them what they are, and that was such a huge, huge thing to kind of hear, you know, an editor, publisher background and why they think it is, you know, what makes this and that classic and not and this and that. So anyways, so she just gave that presentation. So I walk in, I see who I'm meeting with. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so, of course, the first thing in my mouth is, I just loved your presentation, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, sit down. I'm like, oh, great. I just screwed up that first impression. So she's looking over my manuscript. She's, of course, telling me everything I'm doing wrong, of course. She actually loved it. She compared it a lot to the Fancy Nancy series.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah.
Which was like the positive part. Like, this reminds me a lot of Fancy Nancy, however. And it was all the everything I did, which was okay.
Right.
She's like, in your ending, the punchline, she's like, way too adult. I don't think kids are going to get it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, well, I knew that. And I was like, thank goodness. And, you know, someone's definitely drilling that in my head. And then she asked me, she's like, so you're the editor, chief editor of Stories for Children? I'm like, well, I'm actually the owner and founder of it and the chief editor. She's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, and so I start telling her, you know, what Stories for Magazine. She's like, oh, no, we know who it is. And I'm looking at you saw my eyes were huge as saucers. I'm like, pardon me? Yeah, we know who Stories for Children is. And I'm like, but you're a big publisher. I kid you not, this came out of my mouth. I'm like, but you're a big publisher. And of course, here I am now, like, sinking into my chair going, what is she going to tell me I'm doing wrong now, right, on the publishing end? And she's like, we just took on three of your authors that their first writing credit was from your magazine. And I kid you not, I fell out of my chair. I literally fell out of my chair.
I didn't say, though, your magazine, I'm surprised you're talking about it because I keep telling you to talk about it. It's
I know, but
a really wonderful magazine. Honestly,
it's really good. But that was the thing, because I at that time was
really good.
Well, but that time I was seriously thinking, you know, should I continue doing this magazine? It's a lot of work. I do it for free. Everybody behind the scenes at that time, even our contributors, no one was being, you know, no one's paid to do it. And I was really, you know, I was doing the whole, should I keep doing it? And having this, even though she was an assistant editor, you know, at this huge publishing house, you know, it was still having her tell me, we just took three of your authors that their first writing credit was from your magazine. So that was the whole reason why I started the magazine, was to help new authors get writing credit so they could hopefully go on and become sales. That was phenomenal. I mean, my, which I'll use her name, and I don't know if she's listening today, but Donna McDyne, who used to actually help me with marketing for Stories for Children magazine, is now over at Guardian Angel. She's had books published with Guardian Angel Publishing. She's does the Guardian Angel publishing magazine for children. And she does very well. And she does. She has her own media release company that she does, which, you know, when she first started marketing, she's like, I don't know how to do media releases. And I taught her not all of my stuff. And trust me, she's a lot of it she's learned from other places, too. But, you know, I showed her some of my tips of the trade, too, from marketing. And she's doing phenomenal. I mean, I'm so – and I remember when Donna McDyne sent in her very first submission to Stories for Children magazine as a contributing author to us. And it's just phenomenal to see her career. I mean, I worked closely with her, and I still talk to her, and we're very close. That's why I know how her career has expanded. But if I didn't go to that conference for SCBWI, I never would have kept going with Stories for Children magazine. I never would have seen some of the growth I've seen from some of the different, you know, we had Nicole Borzenik on, and who just did a tour for the Kids of Dandelion Township. She was another author that contributed to Stories for Children magazine. I mean, that's why I go to conferences. That right there is why I go, because when I have authors who walk to me and go, oh, my gosh, I don't know if you remember me. And then, of course, I don't remember their names half the time, and I don't know their faces, so how in the heck would I know who they are until they tell me? So, like, you know, my story is such and such, and it was published in, you know, 2009, the April issue. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. And it clicks right in my head, and it's amazing. Or when publishers go, yeah, you know, we just, you know, looked at a couple of authors who have, you know, first writing credits for me. And that's what keeps me going in this industry. It's not the fact I'm selling books. It's not the fact I'm getting books published. It's not even the fact that I'm, like, rolling in dough, because heaven forbid I am not. But, you know, it's that kind of networking. It's that kind of, like, I'm affecting people's lives. And I don't think enough people realize, when it comes to conferences, workshops, being a part of a writer's group, how important that is. You never know who you touch, and you never know that person you touch. For example, I remember meeting James Dashner, who's a young adult author, when his book, his first book, The 13th Reality, I know it's letters, and I can't think of what the whole thing is called. I think it's, like, I don't think it's Serious Letters. Anyway, it's the first book, something letters. Sorry, James, if you're listening, I'm getting your book wrong. But anyway, it's the first book, 13th Reality series, has come out. And he posted on a group that, again, online writers group, that he was going to be in Southern Utah to come visit schools and do a book signing. And I'm like, hey, if you're coming down, let my company take you out, you know, and take you out to dinner. And so I got a couple of local writers together, and I, you know, flipped the bill from the little bit of money that I get from what I do, and took him out to dinner. And since then, he did a book blurb for the back of my book, Baby Sitting Sugar Paw. He's done feature guest interviews, inside stories for Children magazine for me, as you know, not that I haven't had other authors who've done that for me as well, but, you know, even though it hasn't really helped my career grow a lot, he has reached back and has, you know, helped me along the way. Same with, you know, some of the other authors I've met, like Rick Walton and, you know, Brandon Mall and stuff. I mean, and that's the part I think authors forget about, and illustrators forget about, is that you never know that connection you made, like Dave said, that could pay off immediately or 5 years, 10 years down the road. That you
made. I always remember, even sometimes even doing just going to a seminar.
a friend of mine, I was going to the seminars at University of Maryland, the writer seminars and the author seminars, and I told him in passing I was a big fan of Ray Bradbury. Now, this is 15 years ago. And I said to him, I'm a big fan of Ray Bradbury. He said, well, Bradbury's going to be a guest. Well, their MC, who was supposed to introduce Bradbury, got laryngitis. He calls me up and says, would you introduce Ray Bradbury? You have that newspaper column thing. I said, me? Introduce Ray Bradbury? And I said, and the guy said, yeah, sure, please. And I went, and I introduced Ray Bradbury, and I met him. You know, and I'm like, Mr. Bradbury, sir, he says, call me Ray. And I'm like, Mr. Babs, and puts his hand on my mouth and says, Ray. And then he taught me the greatest lesson he taught me the greatest lesson ever in the world. He says, just remember, I put my pants on one leg at a time, like you do. I have never, ever forgot that. And when a young writer comes up to me, or somebody comes up to me at the Meet the Guests, and they're excited and over exuberant, and I think of that line. And that's something the writers, when they do these workshops, you know, there is, you know, these writers are as real as you are. I mean, you have to come to them and just be yourself, relax and enjoy. Yeah, I mean, don't get so friendly. He let me call him Ray, but I would have called him Mr. Bradbury all night if I could. but the point is, it's still, I had enough respect. You know, you don't go up, oh, hey, Bennett, you know, hey, Benny, boo. You know, I'm like, no. You don't know me. Yeah. You know, I'm not asking for Mr. Pomerantz, but, you know, just a little decorum. You know, a person says, Mr. Pomerantz.
Virginia,
well,
call him Mr. Pomerantz, okay?
Yeah, just Mr. Pomerantz. You know, it makes me realize that we all started in the same spot. And, you know, like all the New York bestselling authors were in the same seat as all the new authors, and were in our place at one point. And so it's thank you, Mr. Pomerantz, for sharing that with us.
Stop that. Right. Hey, one of the organizers of a workshop looked at me, and the person called me Mr. Pomerantz, and he says, don't do that. It's Bennett, because if you ask him for Mr. Pomerantz, he keeps looking around for his father.
Oh, that's my husband said that. My husband's like, don't call him sir, and don't call him Mr. Grenier. He's like, because that is my dad.
Yeah, but okay. I have to mention something, since we're talking about workshops and we're talking about lovely things.
Yes.
If anyone is, and it's a freebie. This is a rare one. This is a freebie. Uh-huh. It's called Fanta Science Fiction and Fantasy Convention. It's in Chesapeake, Virginia, on the 7th of July. It's on Facebook. Pamela Kinney is one of the organizers. She's a great author. She writes under Sapphire Phelan, and she also writes a number of books. She's a great author. She's written the Weird Virginia series, which I love dearly.
Which has nothing to do with me, everybody, just so you all know.
Yeah, okay. No. We're talking Virginia the state, not Virginia the person. But the thing is that she is one of the organizers. It's a great workshop. It's that four-letter word, F-R-E-E. So you don't have to worry about, okay, how many million is it going to cost me to get in? And, you know, it's suitable for the whole family. There's going to have children's authors and illustrators and, you know, there's publishers there. And you could talk to people. And that's something that you need to do with these kind of things. And as I said, it's on Facebook. And hopefully you guys will go. They're trying to convince me to go. And I wrote on their page and said, who do I need to kill to be invited as a guest?
No, you just – Bennett's lying to everybody. He said, so what are you guys serving as free food? And then I will be there.
And I'll tell you something. It is a network. Virginia's right. It is a networking thing. You meet a lot of people. And, yes, you can befriend them on Facebook, but you meet a lot of people. You talk to them. And the connections you make, not just from Facebook, but at these workshops, will stay on and on. I mean, it has paid for itself for me to go to some of these book expos. Some of the people I've met and discussed with, I've still kept in touch with 15, 20 years later. We still have talk, and if I'm in their neighborhood or whatever, they usually go to dinner with them. We have great, great lectures, great, great talks. And so it's something that I'm enjoying. I hope to one day have a meet Mr. Smith over there and read his hidden Mickey book. I've already looked it up on Amazon. He's already got me thrilled. I can't wait for my PDF copy of it.
Don't you have another show you're doing tonight? You're very popular.
10 o'clock tonight. Yes, I will be doing the Ashley Fontaine show.
Oh,
that's
good.
At 10 o'clock tonight.
With Mary Ting, and who's that? Mary Ting. Who's there?
Mary Ting.
And Charlotte's there, I think. Charlotte.
Yeah, and it's here on Blog Talk Radio, so everybody knows where it's at. We never say where it's at.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We're on Blog Talk, yes, okay. And tomorrow I will be emceeing an event, and so that if they want to know, they can ask me about it, or they can Facebook me or whatever. I'll be emceeing an event, and of course Night Owl, of course, is popular. Night Owl Magazine, not Night Owl Reviews, Night Owl Review Magazine, with my Peace of My Mind column and my other columns. So it's you network with people, and I can't wait to see Mr. Smith's hidden Mickey book. I'm excited about that.
Well, I appreciate that. And talk about networking and this whole idea of creating these contacts. I think, first of all, most authors remember their roots. They remember their own humble beginnings unlike someone who comes into a lot of family wealth, an author has to earn their notoriety through their work. I mean, you can't inherit it. It is simply impossible. And so with a few exceptions, I think most authors are very approachable. Unless somebody comes on so strong that you're like fearing your life. But I've always enjoyed the fact that all the authors that I've been fortunate enough to meet and talk to, the former president of Disneyland, who wrote his own book, and was fortunate enough to meet Jack Lindquist, who was the president of Disneyland for 20 years. Ironically, when I went up to get a signed book from him, I introduced myself as Dave Smith. I'm the author of Hit Mickey. He said, "I just finished reading your first book and your second book, and I am a big fan." Now, whether he did or not, it was very gracious of him to recognize that I too was an author, and here he was, obviously a very big figure in the Disney Corporation, and with 500 people in the audience that he just got done lecturing. So, one thing I love to do is remind people that don't be afraid to go up to authors and strike up a friendly but respectful conversation, and you'll probably learn something. And ironically, one thing I didn't mention was after our conference in October, during the free lecture for new authors, we're then doing our author palooza with probably 20 or 30 of our authors that will be in attendance with their own books. We'll have a book signing event following that immediately. Lecture, and so all those people now will have the opportunity to go to these different tables and talk to the authors about what they wrote about, how they wrote about, and whatever questions they may have. So it is critical that I think authors need to not be afraid to approach people, right, other authors and others in the industry. But they have to get in, I'll close at least with my comments here, they have to get off their butt. And most authors, I think, for the most part, are very introverted. That's one reason why they can sit down and write a book, because they are by themselves. They are not having to be in front of the audience with their lampshade on or, whatever you want to call it. But the fact of the matter is they need to get out and approach their people.
Yeah.
And go out there.
I have one addendum to that when you're done. I have one addendum to add to that, though.
Well, I think that's my main point is how many times I've met authors who just sit reading a book while they're doing a book signing. No one wants to approach an author who's busy.
Really?
Get out from your booth and shake hands with people. Have you heard about this book? And everyone has a story, and there's an audience for that story. They got to go out and make sure they find it. And I can't tell you how many people have walked by my booth and didn't look interested, didn't look thrilled, at least, almost, we're almost to the point of why you know how it is at a expo or whatever, where
you know, you're trying to approach people, and they're like, no, I don't want your literature. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want nothing from you. And that's fine. But how many times we've had a person that literally did not look interested in the least, but we still said, hey, here's our flyer. Have you heard about our Disney book, or have you heard about this? And how many of those ended up buying books, and not only bought books, but may have bought a whole set or bought them for their friends? You never know.
No, you don't know. Right.
On that first impression of what that audience might have in store. But you've got to approach them, and you've got to take that risk. It's sort of like asking a girl out for a date. You've got to go out there and be ready to be, you know, not be ready to be turned down. But I'll close with one statement. I look at every place I go with my books as an opportunity for success, not failure. So I don't care if someone's going to say, I'm not interested, I don't care, I don't like Disney, blah, blah, blah. We did a lecture at a book event in Henderson, and one lady came up right before our lecture and says, I want you to know I hate Disneyland, but I loved your book. Our book was their book of the month thing. So you just never know, and literally you just don't want to shut any door that could be a potential for you.
That's true.
So I want to hear Bennett's addendum to that.
Well, okay, my addendum is this. I love talking to the fans. I love talking to the writers. I really do. The only thing is, if you're in the middle of eating a spaghetti dinner and you have your mouth full, that's not the time to approach and say, how you doing? And I'm like, whoa, 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 and I'm putting my finger up, not to be rude, but to try to swallow. And it's like, oh, well, you don't want to talk to me. That's like, and my friend, thank God, said, give him a minute. He's trying to swallow. You don't want him to choke. You know, and at that moment is the wrong time to go up to an author. If he's having dinner, excuse me, sir, do you have a minute? I don't mind somebody, you know, a minute, great. 2 hours joining my table, yes, I do. But
I'll charge you for that.
But if somebody says, oh, yeah, do you have a feeling? Sure, come, you know, how are you? Good. You know, if they want to. But if I'm in the middle of eating, don't ask me how I'm doing. I'm trying to follow.
Or the bathroom.
But I've never had the pleasure of the restroom stop like that.
I had that.
Not
that I was in the stall. I was washing my hands. But I did have someone come up to me while I was washing my hands in the bathroom. I'm like, can we wait till I'm outside that door, please? Bathroom is not the place I want to be having a conversation. Okay, Marshall, what are your closing words?
Talk about captive audience.
We should probably, you know.
Well, I'll do the show stuff this second. I want you to.
Okay.
What do you have to share?
I think that people should, you know, absolutely, you can learn from some, there's so much out there, and I think that people just have to sometimes listen to people and don't be afraid to ask questions of anybody, because I think most authors will want to talk about writing because our friends don't want to talk about writing, and we all know that. So we all, that's what we do. And so I think if people have a question, they can email people, and I don't think, like, I'm happy to take a question of somebody, and I know you, Virginia, are too, you know, if they have a question. But, and don't feel bad about that, because there are things, and sometimes you do need help as a new author or an author that's been doing this for years. There's always something out there to learn. That's my point.
Absolutely.
I send stuff to friends all the time, and some of them have bigger names, and I don't want to drop their names, but they have bigger names, and they say, sure, I'll look it over.
Well,
and
But,
they, you know, they're my friends or people that I know in this industry, and they know who I am, and they'll read it, you know. But we need to not do this show, but the next show we need to do one on reputation. There we go, how to be not pigeonholed.
Well, go to our new online workspace, Bennett, that I emailed you, and type it in as a show topic. And it's in your email. Yeah, and we'll get into that later, not on our show, but... We're organizing ourselves, everybody that's trying to figure it out. We have a new way that we can communicate since we're all spread out. But here's a few of my closing comments, kind of. I already shared pretty much why I feel workshops and conferences are important. But on the marketing end, when you're networking, and here's something that I see so many new authors do, and actually I'm going to rephrase that. I even know authors who have more than like 2 books published that don't have business cards still to this day.
Right.
that is such a cheap and easy thing to do. I mean, you can go locally to printers. You can go online to printers and get business cards. I mean, I use an online place where I get 250 business cards, and half the time I only have to pay for shipping because they have, I can't think of the name of the place right now. Oh, Vista Prints, which now advertises on TV. I get 250 business cards, or maybe it's 500 business cards. I don't know. So 250 to 500 business cards, and I also have to pay for shipping if I hit them at the right time. And I give my business card to anybody who, one, comes up and talks to me and asks me questions, or,
yep,
two, I'm asking a question to. And I tuck them in my books if, you know, someone buys a book, or if I decide to be nice and give a book free out to a kid just because they're cute.
Maybe if you decide to be nice.
But my point is that it's such a simple thing, and I can't tell you how many times that somebody will send me an email, you know, months later, years later, and say, I don't know if you remember me. And if you hit on enough of the right keywords to me, my brain will automatically go, oh, yeah, and I'll trigger and remember who it is. And here's a prime example. I had an author who I really honestly need to get a guest post to today because I keep telling her I'm going to get it to her, and I haven't yet. But she had contacted me. She'd met me through an online group. And I said, I sent her my contact information. I'm like, and she was just starting. I'm like, anytime, you know, you're ready, you know, just contact me. I'd be more than happy if I have time to answer your questions. And told her, you know, it could be, take X amount of time, whatever, depending on how busy I am. And she ended up contacting me, asked me to do a book critique for her. And I critiqued her book. And I don't use anybody's stuff that they send me when I edit or critique. But I tend to, like, not delete stuff right away out of my computer. And thank goodness I had it, because her laptop was stolen. And she lost her manuscript with all of my critique notes and stuff. And she emailed me. And it had been, I don't know, at least a year, maybe longer since we
had
cut space.
That's critical.
But she contacted me. Now, mind you, this is somebody I talked to a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if you remember me. This is the name of my book. This is what happened. By chance, you maybe just have a copy of it still on your computer. I'm like, let me go find out. Well, I happened to have it back in my archives in my computer that my husband and I were able to dig out and was able to send it to her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's so important that you make those connections. And like Bennett said, you never know 10, 15, 20 years later, even if you haven't talked to them a long time, you may reconnect with them. You may come across their business card. I have my business cards from all my writing instructors. And when my picture book came out, I hadn't talked to them in years. I sent them, you know, I just sent them a letter to say, hey, I wanted you to know what was going on. And a couple of them said, send me your book, I'll write you a review.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. So
it's so
dang important. So that's what we want to share with you. Dave, it's been a pleasure having you on the
show.
Yeah,
it's been great.
Thank you.
Again, everybody that's listening, it's Dave Smith. He's the author of The Hidden Mickey, one of the co-authors to some of the books and then author some others of the Hidden Mickey series. You can see the part of the cover of his recent book, which is his memoir, In the Shadow of the Matterhorn. And he's also the owner and founder of Synergy Books. I think I have your links on our show episode information page, so you can click on that as well. And then if anybody, just because we didn't, Dave and I were being, you know, relatively modest about not overly during too much of our conversation. If anybody's interested, lives near the St. George, Southern Utah area, or doesn't mind traveling across the country or from Canada or into the U.S. to come to a conference, you're more than welcome to email me at vsgrenier@gmail.com, and I will send you the brochure and registration form to the Southern Utah Writers Conference. It's open to members and non-members to go. So, and it's we have an early bird special for August till August 1st, and I think it's like, what, $100, $120 for non-members?
Yeah,
something like that, yeah.
Early bird rate, I think it's $115 for non-members, $90 for members. So there's but for over 2 days and probably, I think, I think we got 18 separate conferences within the conference, or, you know, breakout sessions that are going to all cover everything. And, again, the networking that's going to be available and the questions that you'll have answered. And like Virginia, and I would imagine everyone on this show is more than happy to answer questions that they're legitimate, and we all have a passion for our own work, but also a passion for helping others become a successful writer, so I would encourage people to even write me at my own website. You can contact me at david@synergy-books.com if you have a question as well, and I will always respond.
Yeah. And for those who are listening to us, we have a lot of listeners who do listen to Blog Talk Radio and to other shows. Just so you know, I'm really excited because one of our keynote speakers at our conference, and I'm trying to convince Bennett and Marsha to come out here as attendees to the conference. But Johnny Tan from My Mama's Kitchen.
Yeah, she's coming. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Tan, who does From My Mama's Kitchen here on Blog Talk Radio, and it's also the name of his book, and he's a motivational speaker. And it's just, if you've ever listened to a show or when he's been on, you know, mine, Marsha's, and our joint shows together, he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's our keynote speaker on Friday night of the conference. So I'm really excited because I talk to Johnny often on the phone and through email quite a bit. So we're finally going to meet face-to-face for the first time, and that's going to be really exciting. See, here you go. I've known Johnny for years. I'm finally meeting face-to-face because of the conference.
This is why you go. That's right. Why don't you talk about tomorrow's show? Tomorrow we have a show. JD Holiday and Christy, how does she pronounce her last name?
Marsha, do you know? Is it Condolera? Okay, I don't want to.
It's Condolera. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, making sure they have their fabulous show for teachers, parents, children's librarians.
So cute.
Called It's Storytime Gather Round. It's where authors come on and they read a portion of their books for YA to picture book readers on the show.
It's a short show because kids need their attention. But
and of course, you know, authors don't want to like read the whole book on air. So they're hoping you'll like either check out the library or buy it. So, but it's a great show. So that's tomorrow.
I read my whole book.
Marsha's the softie. She read her whole book, so go find that so you can listen to the whole book.
I told her I'll come on to read any of my other books.
That's tomorrow, June 2nd. It's at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central, 8 Mountain, 7 Pacific. If you don't want to get up because you're on Pacific Coast time, you're like,
it's Saturday.
I don't want to wake up at 7 a.m. in the morning to listen. It's on demand, so just come back to the World of Ink Network and listen to it later tomorrow or Sunday or whenever. But it's a great show. It's a great time to get the little kids gathered around and excited about reading. And then, Marsha.
I have a show. Tuesday, I have a romance show with Elizabeth Black, and we have a new author, Madison Montgomery, Dawn Pichol. She's been on before, Brindle Chase, Kathleen T, and Jean Joachim, I think.
Joe Quim,
okay, yeah, and that's and Bethany Cross, and that's
and I'll be listening in the chat room.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And Marsha, are you going to do your show June 8th too?
I am doing a ghost show with Willow Cross. Yes, and we're going to. It's a show about ghosts and what experiences that people might have had with ghosts. And we had one once before, and it's on Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and that should be.
And
a
you're competing with me with the Ashley Fontaine show.
Well, I don't know. I thought she's done in June. Is she having her show in June?
Yes, and I'm taking it over.
Oh, for sure. Okay, are you taking
it? Well, just so our listeners know, and Bennett can answer that question in a second. We are going to take not all of the World of Ink Network radio shows, but this show, the What Exists Success show, is going to take a hiatus for the rest of June. So this is our only show in June, and then we're going to discuss in July having maybe one show. We may do both shows in
July. Well, see what happened already. I already booked a show. See, that's what happened. I say
in July. We already booked a show in July?
No, not yet, but I'm sure that I will.
Okay.
I will.
But the rest of June, we're not doing a What Is Success.
Right.
So there will be
no
show on the third Friday of June of What Is Success, because we are determined to at least take some vacation because none of us ever do.
Right.
So, yeah.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
I work.
I work through my vacation, too, but it's called vacation because I'm not doing everything. I'm only doing half of what I do. So it's not as stressful.
I'm only taking the laptop with me. I work anywhere, you know. Have laptop, we'll travel.
Hours. 24 hours a day. I know.
Open all night, you know.
Yeah. Ben, are you taking over Ashley's show since Marcia asked that question?
I think that's what we're talking about, yeah, because Ashley was going to come in once in a while, and I'll be doing a lot more of them. I'm going to be having guests in July and August of Max Allen Collins and Bruce Coville and some other lovely guests, and just have a lot of fun.
Well, maybe I'll join you. I might join you. Never know.
You might. Always welcome, Marcia.
Well,
you're always welcome. But I've got I've got a very special chronicler of Martians that might do Blog Talk Radio. He's not sure, but he wants to. And I may have to just tape the show early or whatever and run it later.
Yeah,
but,
we can do any time. We're flexible time.
Yeah.
I understand, but he's not that young anymore. And to have him do the show, I'm hoping he says yes.
Right. We've had
and I can't give you his name.
I get morning shows, believe me. I have a 3 o'clock in the morning if you want.
Yeah.
So I don't care.
Marcia and I don't sleep. Don't you know this yet, Bennett? And then unblog talk radio related for the World of Ink Network, but still World of Ink Network related. We have two World of Ink Network tours beginning this coming weekend. So Sunday and Monday they'll be kicking off. One's a children's book and picture book, and then the other one is actually it's a inspirational religious undertone. Kind of a memoir book, so that will be really fun. And then one of our World of Ink hosts, which is one of the people who help with like hosting people who do the tours on their blogs, just had a book published, a picture book published.
Oh.
Her name is Joe Linsdale.
Oh yeah.
And she's putting together her own virtual tour, and I'm like, well, you're a host, Joe, you know, so we are going to actually have a tour page for her on at the World of Ink as well, on the authors on tour section. We will have her on five of the different World of Ink blogs that we have, like the World of Ink Network blog, the Writing Mama, and the Family Matters. We'll have a couple of different times that we'll be hosting her during her tour, but she will have her tour page with us because we have to always say thank you to those who help us out. So she also has her tour, so I had to at least share that as well. And that's everything I think that has going on. Dave, do you have any events that you want to share before we wrap up our shows, you know, book signings or something like that?
I've got a couple big ones. I will be at Disneyland doing a signing and a lecture at the Disney Animania Convention. July 21st, actually, on my birthday, I'll be Saturday. I'll be in the Hyatt Hotel there in Anaheim, mm-hmm. and then I will be in Cedar City in a week doing a book signing at their big Brewfest event in Cedar City, Utah, and then I will be in Monterey, California, speaking at the World USPTA Convention, which is a tennis convention, largest for tennis pros, and I, of course, have my two top-selling tennis books, Tennis Mastery and Coaching Mastery. So I've got those three events. So if you're a tennis pro, go to the World Conference in Monterey, California. We'll be there the week of September 16th through the 22nd, and like I said, I'll be at Disneyland July 21st in Cedar City next week. So those are my three next relatively bigger events worth mentioning, I think. But thank you for allowing
me to
be here.
It's been a pleasure,
Mr.
Smith.
My pleasure, too, Ben. And Marcia.
And thank you so much.
Virginia.
Thank you. It was very
appreciate
nice to meet
you guys. And,
hope
to be on
the air
with
again
you guys again.
Soon,
we'll
join us again
soon,
hopefully. Yes. And everybody have a safe weekend.
Yes,
and enjoy the summer months. And if you're like my husband and burn easily, yes, they have to print to my family, Marcia. You know me. I can never get away with not. Make sure you put lots of sunscreen on because we don't want you to get sunburned.
We're gonna need boots here probably. What can I tell you?
unless you're in the Chicago area, according to Marcia, you guys are still going to need your parkas. But if you're anywhere else, definitely make sure you bust out the sunscreen. And
outer space with ET, you
all
know.
Right, have a good day. All right, thanks a lot.
Bye, care. Everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Me to the World of Ink.